Well, friends, we want to turn again to this passage which we have read, and we're going to focus our attention this morning on those first 10 verses of Exodus chapter 2. I'm going to do something this morning that I know can be frowned upon, but I want to focus my thoughts specifically upon mothers today. But there is application here for children, for parents, for grandparents. There's application for each one of us. We do not hold to, some would call, man-made holy days, but I think it is good to remember the important role that mothers have played throughout the Scriptures. And so I want to consider today, for a short time, the godly mother that we see here in this passage which we have read. Throughout the Old Testament and New Testament, as I have said, mothers play an important role in the Scriptures. There are many that will spring immediately to our minds. We could think of the mother of all living, as was named by Adam, Eve. Even before she had any children, he gave her that name, the mother of all living. We could consider Sarah or Hannah or Elizabeth, who all longed and prayed for a child, and the Lord answered the heartfelt cry. And they brought up children in the way of the Lord, children who were used of the Lord. We could consider Naomi, who lost her sons, but through love for her daughter-in-laws, brought Ruth into faith in her Lord and her God. And we know the important role that Ruth played even in the genealogy of our Saviour. And the list continues with Mary, the mother of our Lord, Peter's mother, Lois, Eunice, etc. There are many mothers mentioned throughout Scripture. But this morning we come to this passage in God's Word, and we want to focus our minds on several of the great truths. There is primarily the providence of God at work here in the lives of His children and of His people, even in exile in the land of Egypt. But there is also the great example of faith, a life lived in faith and obedience unto the Lord. For a few moments I want to consider the example of a godly mother. And so I do not want you to switch off if you're not a mother. I hope, as I say, that there will be application for us all. As I prepared this message, I came across an interesting illustration, and perhaps it sums a mother up in very, very many ways. I think we can all relate to it. The story is told of a teacher who asked a young boy in class one day, "Suppose your mother baked a pie and there were seven of you, your parents, yourself, and four siblings. Well, what part of the pie would you get?" And any of us that have been to school would say, "Well, that would be 1/7. But no, the young boy gave a different reply. He says, "Miss," he says, "I would receive 1/6. And the teacher looked at him and frowned upon him, and she says, "I'm afraid you don't know your fractions. Remember, there are 7 of you." "Yes, teacher," said the boy, "but you don't know my mother. My mother would say that she didn't want any pie." And we see the sacrifice of a mother for her children, even in a simple illustration like that. And so often a mother will go without. So often a mother will make sacrifices for the well-being of her children. And I'm sure we can all relate to that. A mother's concern, a mother's care, first and foremost, is for that of her children. It is a tie like no other. And here in the passage before us, we have such a mother. We have the story. We're introduced to a man and his wife, both of the house of Levi. The man's name was Amram, and the woman's name was Jochebed. But I want us to see, firstly, that here we have a mother, and she was an anxious mother. She was an anxious mother. The birth of a child ought to have brought excitement into the home. Is that not the situation that it is? When a child is born, there's great delight. But to be born into a situation such as we have read about in the Scriptures, such as prevailed in the days of this wicked Pharaoh will have brought grave concern to any parent, especially to a mum-to-be. Babies are usually welcomed into the home with much rejoicing, not only by those within the home, but by those who are round about, neighbours, friends, relatives, etc., etc. But the situation here was that of fear, of sorrow, of perplexity. And this gift of a child brings with it trial. Trial through the wickedness of an evil Pharaoh. Sin turns blessings into curses. It turns joy into sorrow. And we cannot start to imagine how Abraham and Jochebed must have feared for the safety of their child even before it was born. Well, we can all quickly say, oh, just trust in the Lord and everything will be all right. But when the shoe is on the other foot, then sometimes it is difficult to have that faith that we ought to have. That faith that we can talk to others about. That faith that we can share with others. But when the tables are turned, sometimes we take a step back and our faith, which seems so strong, can perhaps be shaken. The truth of the situation is that even in the midst of such fear, we must cast our all upon the Lord. We must bring our every care to the Lord. And I'm sure that is what Jochebed and Amram done. They cast their care upon the Lord. This lady looked at the child that was born and with a mother's eyes saw that he was a goodly child. And she was anxious for the safety of her child. Hence she tried to evade the cruel edict of the king. She concealed him firstly in the house. And I am sure there were those that around the home, other mothers who had perhaps lost their babies at the hands of Pharaoh's henchmen. The knock would come to the door. I wonder, would it be the soldiers? I wonder, has news of the birth of our son got out? Oh, there was an anxiety here. Would the soldiers burst in at any moment and take the child away? Would the cries of the child be heard in the street, perhaps? Would the news get out that a child was being hid in the Hebrew slums? Well, there was anxiety. There was fear. There was concern. And we can say that it was not without cause. But as the child grew, for some reason, which we're not told, Jochebed became of the opinion that the child was no longer safe within the house. And so she built an ark of bulrushes and she hid him in the waters of the Nile. The situation must be taken to the Lord in prayer and left with the Lord. Well, he was in control of all things now. And by faith, as we read in that great passage, that great account of men and women of faith over in Hebrews chapter 11, in verse 23, we read that by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents. Oh yes, they had faith. And so it was faith, with faith, after hiding him in the house, anxious and all as the situation was, they left him in the Lord's care and they placed him amongst the reeds on the edge of the river Nile. Oh yes, Jochebed was an anxious mother, but praise God, she was also a faithful mother. She was a faithful mother. Both she and her husband were of strong parental affection. They took great notice of their children, and especially at this time of Moses. But they had not only a duty of care to their children, they had a duty of service to the master. Now, we're not talking about their slave master, Pharaoh, or any of those that he set under him, because his ruling was against the commandment of the Lord. His ruling was to murder all the male children in the land of Egypt belonging to the Hebrews. And we can remember how Cain was punished for his sin of murder by the Lord when he put his hand against his brother Abel. And the duty of Jochebed and Amram was first and foremost to serve their Lord, to trust on him and to rely on him. Yes, they were to protect their child with all that they could do physically, with all that they could do of their own means, to make sure that child would be safe and secure. But they needed to cast all their care upon the Lord. Oh, it was a mother's duty to protect the child. Would not each mother here have done the same? Took every opportunity, every precaution, every measure to make sure their own child was safe? Yes, and this is what Jochebed did. But she had faith in the Lord. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents. That's the faith of Moses' parents, not the faith of Moses. He had godly parents. One commentator notes, they had faith in the unseen Jehovah. Not weak, lifeless, inoperative, but powerful faith, so that it influenced their life in its most tender sphere, in its most sacred relations, in its brightest hopes, its truest joys, and it made them willing to give up their child to the guardianship of the Nile, nay, to the guardianship of God. And here is a pattern for parents, for mothers and fathers alike. We ought to have such faith in God that we can trust even our children, most especially our children, in the most perilous of circumstances, to his care. Such trust on our part may enhance their temporal good, as it did with Moses, who was put in the way of the monarch's daughter. And the happy infancy that is linked to the providence of God by a mother's faith. And we cannot tell how much the faith of a godly grandmother or mother has to do with the future of the child, but it is invaluable. That faith in God is the preserving influence of a threatened life, physically, morally, and eternally. If spared, Moses would be brought up in a condition of servitude. And this servitude was severe, as is evident from the previous chapter. For he would be made to work with rigor, as the other Hebrews were. But Amram and Jochebed trusted the Lord. His mother was a faithful woman. It was all in the providence of God, and she left it in God's care. Oh, such faith. Such faith to put her child amongst the flags and to leave him there. Dear mother, you worry about the kind of world that your child is growing up in. Dear father, we are concerned when we look around us and what's going on in our society for our children. Are we so anxious about the moral implications of those who are close to our hearts? But I wonder, are we so anxious about the spiritual implications and the spiritual welfare of our children, as much as we're concerned about the moral implications and moral welfare? The best gift that any child can have is a faithful mother. Oh, I'm not saying that the place of the father is not important, and society to some extent is changing. But generally speaking, it's not the father who is at home nursing the child in those early days. That's the mother's job. In some cases, yes, it is the father, I admit that. But generally speaking, it's the mother's place to bring up the child in those early days. It is on the mother's knee that the first Bible stories are told. It is in the mother's loving arms that the choruses are sung and that the child is prayed over. And this is the way it would have been in this home. It was Jochebed who cared for that child. That child she nursed, she carried, she cradled as her husband Amram laboured for long hours under the punishing hand of the Egyptian taskmasters. Jochebed was the one who spent many, many hours each day with Moses. And I'm sure by the account of faith, which we have noted from Hebrews, that Jochebed would have told this young child, along with her two other children, the stories of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, Joseph, and God's hand upon them. I believe that she would have told them how God would deliver them in his own time, and how there was a promise of a Saviour. Well, this was a faithful, godly mother, a mother who cared for her children, a mother who relied upon the Lord. But I wonder, as she carried that young child, as she nursed that young child, did she ever imagine that he would be the one who would deliver God's people out of the land of Egypt and from the hand of Pharaoh? There's a challenge here for all who are parents and grandparents. I wonder. In fact, I'm certain that she would have prayed that the Lord would have taken her children, even this newborn baby, and used them in his service and for his eternal glory. Dear mother, are you faithfully praying for and teaching your little ones, even perhaps when you're spending more time with them than your husband? Dear father, do you support your wife in such a duty? Do you pray for her in such a position of responsibility? Do you seek to live a godly life in support of your wife before your children? Grandparents, aunts and uncles, we all have a role to play. We have a role to play. We can pray for our children, nieces, nephews, grandchildren. We all have an important role to play. That our children, our boys and girls, will grow up to know the Lord as their Saviour, and that they too may be used for them, by him, for his honour and glory. Proverbs 22 and verse 6, Solomon tells us, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So she was an anxious woman, she was a faithful woman, but I want us also to notice that she was a fearless woman. She was a fearless woman. Hebrews 11:23 again. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw that he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. They were not afraid of the king's commandment, nor did they observe it. For it was contrary to nature, and it was contrary to the laws of God, and it was contrary to the promise of God and their hopes of deliverance. There's a great deal of courage and boldness in faith. I would repeat that. There is a great deal of courage and boldness in faith. We can talk about faith. We can talk about faith all day long. The disciples in the boat could have talked about faith, but how many of them were prepared to step out of the boat and into the water? It took courage and it took boldness for Peter to step out of that boat in faith. And though faith may be weakened at times, praise God, it cannot be lost. When God designs to work deliverance, praise God, nothing shall prevent it. And when God designs to save a child, praise God, nothing can prevent it.
and when we pray, when we humble our hearts and we pray earnestly before the Lord, we move the hand of the Lord. And we have a responsibility to pray, to have faith, but to put feet to our prayers and to our faith.
It was in confidence in her God and his faithfulness that I believe she prepared the ark of bulrushes. Perhaps she recalled how the Lord commanded Noah to build that ark for the salvation of his family. Even in spite of all the odds, even in spite of the surroundings, Noah prepared an ark for the salvation of his home. The pitch was applied as a protective covering, and it made the ark watertight. It became a covering for the storm. The storm which would reveal God's wrath upon man's sinfulness. And there in the covering of the ark, there's a picture of Christ, our salvation. There's a picture of the gospel, of the atonement which our Lord made on Calvary's cross. There's a picture of the blood of Christ that shelters us, his children, from the wrath of God. And the Lord delivered Noah and his family in the ark. And it was with the faith of Noah and the trust in God that she placed her child in an ark amongst the flags on the edge of the Nile. Did you ever consider that she did not place him at the edge of that great river where the current would carry him downstream? No. She put him in the bulrushes so that she could send young Miriam to keep an eye and to watch how the Lord would undertake. If she would have placed him at the edge of the current and that ark would have been carried away, then she would have never known what the Lord would do. She would have always had questions in her mind: has the Lord watched over my child? Has the Lord delivered my child? Has the Lord protected my child? But she placed him and she watched for the Lord's hand at work. I wonder, are we watching and waiting for the Lord's hand at work in our families? So often we push the basket out from the edge and we say, Lord, we'll leave it in your care, and we turn our backs. Jochebed placed that basket where she could see the Lord's hand moving in power. And she knew, I believe, that that was where Pharaoh's daughter would come and bathe. I'm sure this was a regular place. And were there not possibilities with this? You may ask, was the whole situation not reckless? I say it was fearless. It was fearless. For her trust was in the Lord. How many here today can ignore the cries of a child, especially a girl or a woman? Perhaps even some of us, maybe a bit softer men. You all know what it's like when a baby is brought to church for the first time. And as soon as the service is over, perhaps not in the way that we were able to do, but you know what I'm talking about. And all the ladies gather round. Oh, maybe we'll get a wee chance to get a wee nursery, a wee cuddle. And I wonder, did Jochebed consider that the same would be the case with Pharaoh's daughter? We see that lady send her maids to lift the ark from out of the flags. And it's brought to her, and as she opens it, the child begins to cry. And her heart is moved with compassion. Her heart is moved with compassion. Scripture records that in verse 6. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. And we know the story that follows. The Lord softened the heart of Pharaoh's daughter. She was in the right place at the right time, because the Lord had placed the ark where he wanted it to be, and the Lord brought along Pharaoh's daughter at the time that he had appointed. And friends, we place our children in the Lord's care, and we leave them in the Lord's care, and we watch, and we wait. And sometimes the Lord comes sooner, and sometimes the Lord tarries, but the Lord will come in his time. Dear friends, keep on praying. Keep on praying for children outside of Christ. You've left them in the Lord's care. Don't turn your back on them. Don't turn your back on them. Don't say, the Lord will do something in his own time. No, watch. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. Jochebed trusted the Lord, and the Lord answered her prayers. Oh, the Lord answered more than her prayers. Jochebed was concerned about the safety of her child, but the Lord moved the hand of Pharaoh's daughter. And we know how the story ends. Moses was taken. He was raised of her mother, and she received the wages for doing it. And then he was brought up in Pharaoh's palace. Well, what a privilege. Did Jochebed and Amram, when that child was born, ever imagine that the Lord could do such wonderful things? They left him in the Lord's care. Well, yes, we know that further down in our passage that things maybe took a turn for the worse, we could say. And Moses slew that Egyptian. But the Lord was in control. And dear friend, today you might have a child. Maybe they're well grown up. Maybe they've children of their own. And they've wandered far away from the Lord. I wonder, did Jochebed despair when she heard that account? But the Lord worked all things together for good. I would say she continued to pray. And we see how the Lord used Moses. Dear friend, let us trust in the Lord day by day. Let us leave our children with him. Dear mother, can I encourage you to keep on praying? Dear Father, can I encourage you to keep on praying? To support your wife as she does many of the daily routines with the children. Perhaps even in the strenuous task of homeschooling at the moment. We need to pray for our mothers. We need to pray for our children. And we need to leave them with the Lord and trust in him. One has wrote, there is a career no more noble than that of motherhood at its best. There are no possibilities greater, and in no other sphere does failure bring such serious penalties. To attempt this task unprepared and untrained is tragic, and as results affect generations to come. On the other hand, there is no higher height to which humanity can attain than that occupied by a converted, heaven-inspired, and praying mother. As we close, dear friends, let us remember that by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents for the Lord's glory. Amen.